that commodity so vital to all people in all the world, as important in peace as it is in war, is our subject for today. This broadcast comes to you from Belgium, in the Channel Base section of the Communication Zone, the European Theater of Operations. It's being brought to you by means of U.S. Army wire recorder. I've long looked forward to this program for reasons that are obvious. You, the people of the great Middle West, are the world's major producers and processors of food. Through untold effort and determination, you have accomplished near miracles in achieving this phase of freedom from want. You have provided precious food to our soldiers on all the battlefronts, as well as to war workers and others back home, and in addition to hungry people in various parts of the world. In my work as war correspondent, it's been my privilege to join your sons, husbands, and brothers in partaking of the meals and rations served them in rear areas and on front lines, and I've found them very good. You who are on farms of Iowa and other states, or in creameries, packing houses, canneries, and other processing establishments in villages, towns, and cities all over America, or working in the nation's transportation, shiploading, and other industries, have gloriously fulfilled your obligation. The challenge, food will help win the war, has been met. And now, the other part of Secretary of Agriculture Wicker's appeal, food will help write the peace, is being answered. Perhaps, as you are at work in your fields and around your farmsteads, or in processing plants, or on trains and trucks and at docks, you wonder what takes place after your own work is finished. This program seeks to tell a small part of that dramatic story. First, though, a hasty reference to the overall food picture here in the ETO, as told me by members of the Chief Quartermaster Staff, which includes a Des Moines man, Lieutenant Colonel Bill Weir, who is of great help to me. Daily needs for our soldiers and other U.S. personnel, plus countless prisoners of war now being fed, call for more than 34 million pounds of food. That's each day. And in addition, there must be a reserve of some 50 days. Menus are prepared 6 weeks in advance. A total of 140 different items are needed to make up the basic A rations. 140 different foods selected with nutritional needs as well as taste and quantity in mind. Operational rations, the C's, K's, and 10-in-1s provided men when on the line are given the same careful consideration as A rations. Special schools help train cooks and bakers. Hot chow is provided in the field as well as elsewhere. Bread, 15 million pounds a day, is baked daily by our army bakers. Fresh vegetables, some grown by soldiers in their own gardens, and occasionally some from excess stocks in Europe, are secured whenever possible. Miracles have been performed in transportation, refrigeration, conservation, storage, record keeping, and other aspects of this all-important business of providing American soldiers with the best and most nutritious food possible. Let's look at the first step in the fascinating march of events concerning the food you produce after it has come to this side of the Atlantic. For this picture, we take you now to Antwerp, Belgium. Yes, we're in Antwerp, and that whistle you've just heard came from one of the countless ships down here at the American docks, along the port of Antwerp. This is a fascinating sight. Liberty ships, victory ships, huge ocean vessels, yes, and small tugboats, too. Right near us, less than 200 yards away, I can see one of our Liberty ships. It's coming in now with a load of supplies. Among other things, I can see some Red Cross insignias on what appear to be ambulances. And I can see a little tug starting to swing that Liberty ship around. Perhaps we'll hear its whistle a bit later. And I can see all about me here barges. Barges here along on the famous River Scheldt. This is one of the largest ports in all the world. And all the countless quays and piers in this harbor area, and miles of warehouses and great stacks of supplies are to be seen everywhere. Some of those supplies are covered by tarpaulins now because it's raining just a little. Meanwhile, unloading is taking place from some of these nearby ships. Supplies of all kinds, equipment, clothing, and food. I can see some of the food being unloaded from one of the vessels. Hundreds of Belgian deckhands and dockhands helping with the work. Right behind us, one of the little tractors was going along, pulling a load of supplies. A little farther away, I can see some loading into another vessel that soon will be taken through the Albert Canal and on to the next stop on the way to our men. I'm a little too far away to tell just what type of food is being handled by that big crane over there. Possibly it's some butter. It's in large boxes. Maybe it's some meat. In any case, we know that it's something that will be very precious to the men when they get it later on. That large Liberty ship is coming in closer now. It's very near us, within 60 or 70 feet. I do hope it will have that whistle blowing again soon. But let's turn now to someone who has much more information on all the activity here than I could possibly have. I'm very happy to turn the microphone over to the port quartermaster. He is Colonel Edwin T. Bowden, and I know that Colonel Bowden knows more about the food passing through the port of Antwerp than any other officer. Can you tell us, Colonel, and can you tell the people back home how all this food and all the other supplies are handled?
I wish all of you citizens of the United States could see Antwerp. It has meant so much to the successes of our armies and to the shortening of the war here in Europe. We are in Belgium, near the Holland border, 30 miles from the sea. The River Schelde comes up from the sea like a giant arm, and as it nears the city of Antwerp, spreads out like the outstretched fingers of the hand into a series of long rectangular basins. There are 20 miles of docks, and it accommodates hundreds and hundreds of ships. Just now, as far as the eye can see, there are ships bowed to stern, like a traffic jam on a pleasant Sunday afternoon at home. Most of these ships are loaded with food. Food in every conceivable shape and kind of container. Cans. Amphibious pack so that it will not be hurt by the water. Giant cranes. Snatch this cargo and this food from the holds of the ships and throw it into cars, trucks, barges, and probably it will be moved to go by air as food which will soon reach the barrels at the front.
Just to interrupt a moment, I think one of the significant points that the people back home would be interested in is how you proceeded during the time of those enemy V-bomb attacks. It must have been a terrible time, and people here at this port must have gone through some of
about the V-bomb damage and those days of V-bomb attacks.
For 5 months, the Germans did everything within their power to stop the port of Antwerp. But during that entire period, there was not a single day lost from our work and all the interruption of the flow of supplies through here. During that same period of 5 months, something like 1 million tons of food passed through this port on the way to the army. It is rather difficult, I realize, for the average person to visualize what 1 million tons of food means. Probably if you took a space 20 miles long by 3 miles wide,
by 20 feet high and visualize that as all filled with food, you would get an idea what 1 million tons can mean.
1 million tons of food. Even those of us here at this famous Antwerp port, where shipload after shipload of the food our farmers have produced is coming in, can fully comprehend the magnitude of the job you, Colonel Bowen, and all the others here are doing. Thank you for telling us about this all-important link in the chain that takes the food to the men, wherever they are, in rest areas, occupation zones, and other points where they may have been sent since the day of victory. Things have quieted down some here now. That big ship, so prominent with its whistle a few minutes ago, is tied up near us now. Perhaps you can hear just a little of the yelling from the decks and from the docks here. Old Glory is proudly waving over its decks, and big cranes and winches are pulling up to it now.
There's one over there with another whistle.
All in the familiar battleship gray are still moving about. And over on the pier to our right, those huge cartons of food are being piled higher and higher. Some are being loaded into refrigerated cars and trucks, indicating the big crates are filled with meat or shell eggs or other perishables. Some will go by barges or by regular army truck. All of the food at this port is on its way and boys up somewhere in Germany and in other countries here. Food you have helped produce. Food they appreciate. Food that has helped to win the victory. And food that now is helping right the peace. This is Herb Planbeck, turning you from the port of Antwerp to WHO.